You'd like to turn with me in your Bibles to the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 12 and verse 2. The letter to the Hebrews, chapter 12 and verse 2. And just looking simply at those first three words, looking unto Jesus. That will be the topic, the subject of our message this morning, looking unto Jesus. And of course, these words are above me in this pulpit. And maybe we look at these words every week and we don't really take in what they fully mean. What it is to truly look unto Jesus, looking unto Jesus. What a tremendous thing it is to look unto Jesus, especially in this world of great sin and great sorrow. In this world, we see so many things that we don't want to see. We're almost forced to see things that will affect us in a bad way, in a derogatory way, in a negative way, in a way that will cause us to sin. We see so many things in this world that tempt us to sin. Things that are not good for our souls. As soon as we step out the door, we are bombarded with things that will lead our souls astray, that will corrupt us. It could be advertising. It could be the things that people wear. It could be anything on our TV screens, anything to corrupt our souls. And the way of this world, the way of this modern society, is to look away from Jesus, to look not to light, but to look to darkness, to look to oneself, to be selfish, to be insular, to be narrow. And what a tragedy that is. But that is why we have these words, these three words, displayed from our pulpit. And this is why these words are so very important to us. Looking unto Jesus. We must look to Him. He is the only hope of this world. We see and we read so much in this world that causes us to despair. Some people I know, they don't even like watching the news anymore. It's so depressing. It's so despairing. And I don't blame them. Every week, every month, well, there seems to be some great tragedy, some great catastrophe. And well, it appears to me, I don't know about you, but they seem to be increasing in gravity. Every week we see something that is the worst crime for years and years and years, or the worst natural disaster ever recorded in history. The news doesn't get any better. It gets worse and worse and worse. And so what is the hope? What is the solution? The politicians, do they have any solution? You see so many politicians in Europe, particularly at this moment in time, trying to thrash out, what is the solution? What is the answer to all our ills, to all our worries? They're looking to this, they're looking to that, to this treaty, that treaty. They don't look unto Jesus, and He is the only hope. And so we must preach this. It's the only hope of this world, not the politicians, nothing that this world can offer. Look unto Jesus. This is the message of every Christian. To look unto Jesus. And by the way, it's not look to other Christians. Some people, some churches, they seem to get a bit over interested in themselves and in their churches and maybe in certain individuals in the church. Oh, look at this fine upstanding man. He's a great Christian. Don't you want to be like him? That's why you should become a Christian. Look at all these wonderful Christian people, how they live. Well, yes, we can be bold witnesses. We can reflect the goodness of Christ, the kindness of Christ, the peace, the joy of Christ. But every Christian's message, if he is being faithful, is not look unto us, but look unto Jesus. Look unto Jesus. He is the only one who can save you. A Christian man or woman, no matter how good, how godly he is, you may have Christian parents. You may think that you're saved because of them. But no, if you haven't looked unto Jesus, You can't possibly be saved. He is the only source of salvation, the only way to God. No man or woman or pastor or priest cannot save you. Well, he is the only way to God. Only Christ can save you. You must look to him. And note that it's Jesus. It's not just God. Some people make this mistake. If I just believe in God, then I'll be all right. If I just believe that God exists, that God is real, that God is true, that he is definitely there, well, then I'll be safe at the end. At the end of time, well, God will accept me. God will know me. God will allow me to go into heaven because I believe that he was there. I didn't obey him, never really went to church, never really read the Bible very much, but I believe that he was there. Some people think that's enough, but that's not enough. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible teaches us not so much that God exists, that's really a given. The Bible assumes that, but the Bible teaches us to believe in the one whom God has sent, the Lord Jesus Christ. To look to him, look unto Jesus, the Savior, the Messiah. He is the only way to God. Just believing in God will not save you. And we must make this very clear. Believing in God will not save you. The Bible says, even in the New Testament, even the devils believe in God. They won't be saved. They won't be in heaven at the end of time. Even the devils believe in God, but that doesn't save them. You have to look unto Jesus. Look at what he has done. Why has he been sent into this world? Why did he come? Why did he suffer? Why did he die? You have to believe on that. Look unto Jesus, or you will not be saved. Christ is the one that we must fix our sights upon and focus upon him. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ, he is worth looking at. Sometimes if we don't look at something, it's because we don't think it's worth it. Why should we look at something or investigate something if it's not very interesting or if it's not very important? But the Lord Jesus Christ is worth looking at. Maybe there are some people here who think, well, I've just come here out of duty. I've come here just because somebody else wants me to be here. But the Lord Jesus Christ, well, he's not really worth considering. Not really worth looking at. Maybe that's you. But he is so worth investigating and seeking after. Above all other things, he is the Son of God. He is God. He is equal with God. He is divine. Oh, that alone ought to make him worth investigating. The living God, the second person of the triune Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and Christ Jesus, the eternal Son, he is equal with the Father. He is one with the Father. He is divine. And so as God, well, he is the meaning of life. He is the meaning of our lives. If he was not, well, he wouldn't be God. God is the meaning of our life, why we are here, what we are doing on this world, why there is a human race, what we should be doing on this planet. We'll never understand these things unless we look unto Jesus. What should we be doing here below? What should we be speaking about? What should we be spending all our time, investing our time doing? What should we be working toward? We don't know any of those things if we don't look to Jesus. Look at him for the answer to all these things. He is the meaning of life. He is the one who gave us our lives. He is the source of all life. We read in the scriptures that he was the one who was given authority to create this earth, to give all life. And well, he is the one that we look to find the meaning and to give thanks to him for our life and for our very breath. And so when we think about these things, we would not be here without the Lord Jesus Christ. I would not have life. I would not have a soul. I would not have understanding. I would not have reason. I would not have anything that I know and love. Well, when we think about these things, well, then we know that we have obligations to him. We think of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, he has given me everything. So what must I do for him? I must do something for him. If he has given me everything, I must do something for him. I have obligations to him. And these things are very important. And well, when we look unto Jesus, when we look to him in his word, well, we think of what he speaks of. The Lord Jesus Christ speaks of so many important things, momentous things, and things that involve each and every one of us. Don't ever think that when the Lord Jesus spake, he only spoke about people who lived at that time, who lived in Israel or in Galilee and Palestine. When the Lord Jesus Christ spoke, he spoke about everybody. He spoke about great momentous things that would happen throughout the history of the world, and particularly at the end of time. And we spoke about these things a couple of weeks ago. He mentioned that great day that is coming, when the whole world will be gathered before the Lord Jesus Christ. The whole world will be gathered. Everybody who has ever lived will be gathered before the Lord Jesus Christ. Even those who have died will be raised from the dead and stand before Christ. Everybody, every tribe, tongue, and nation. So that means you. So when we look unto Jesus, we understand that what he is, who he is, what he speaks of, involves every single one of us. And so we have to take him very seriously. We can't ignore him. We have to examine him. We have to investigate him. In fact, well, the Bible says that if we do not look unto Jesus before the end of time, before that great and coming day of judgment, well, then we are in great danger. We are in great danger of being eternally lost. Our souls will be cast away from God forever. That is the great danger that we are in. And so not only is Christ worth looking into, we must, really. You are in great danger if you do not look unto Jesus. Eternal danger, not like danger in this world. In this world, when we encounter danger, well, danger will come and danger will go. It may end very horribly for you, but it is only temporary. But if you do not look unto Jesus, well, then you are in eternal danger. Danger of eternal woe, eternal consequences, consequences that will never pass. And so you must look unto Jesus. You are in great danger if you do not. Well, I am reminded so often of some of the wayward things I got up to when I was a young child, when I was considering these verses, of the times when maybe I or my friends were in great danger and we didn't heed the warnings, or only at the very last minute. Part of my wayward youth was spent with some very bad company. And some of the things we used to do, well, one of the things was we used to go and play on the train track. We used to go and play there, of all places. And if there are any young people, I don't advise this at all. But that's what we used to do. We were so wayward. And I remember there was one time when one of my friends, he thought it would be a good idea to lie on the track. And, well, he was lying there for it must have been a good few minutes. And then all of us, well, we could see a train coming in the distance. And we shouted down to him, "There's a train coming. There's a train coming." And he didn't believe us. Maybe we joked about it far too often in the past. And so this time he wasn't going to listen to us. And so we were shouting and shouting and getting more urgent, until at one stage we were screaming at the top of our lungs, "You have to move." And then he realized that something was very wrong. And he got up and he looked and he could see that train coming toward him. And he darted off. He sprinted away and he was safe. But you see, that's like us. That's like us looking unto Jesus. There's this great danger coming, this great day of judgment. And we as Christian people, this is what we do from the pulpit. We are crying out to you. You must look. Look at what is coming, this great day of judgment. And if you do not heed the warning, if you go, oh, well, we've heard all this before. Oh, I'm not going to listen to this. I'm just going to lie here. I'm just going to live my life as I've always lived it. Well, then eventually there will be great danger, great tragedy. So you must get up. You must look. Look at the danger. And you must move out of danger's way. You must move towards Jesus. You must look unto him for safety and for refuge. That is the illustration. And I hope that that has been made clear. We are in great danger, every single one of us, something far greater than an approaching train, that great day of judgment. And so we must look at these things. We must take these things very seriously. Of course, there have always been, and there always will be, some who will never look towards Jesus. Some who will never look, and they will be eternally lost. But why? Why do some people never look to the Lord Jesus Christ? This is a question that has to be answered, because maybe there are some people here who are like this. They have that obstinacy. They're stubborn. They don't really want to look at the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, there are many reasons, but when we don't want to look at somebody, when we don't want to look at someone in the face, normally it's because we have something to hide. We know that we have something to hide before them. Think of a young child being taken into a headmaster's office. He's done something wrong and he's called to the headmaster's office. He stands before the headmaster and the headmaster says to him, "What is this that I've been hearing about your bad behavior? What have you done?" Well, that young child, he won't want to look at him in the face. He always has his face down. He doesn't want to confess what he has done. And that's exactly how we are when it comes to God, when it comes to Christ. We don't want to confess our sin. We know that we've done things wrong. We know that we have sinned against God. We know that we have broken the holy laws. We have lied. We have stolen things, we have coveted things, we have been manipulative, we have been selfish. We know that we have done these things even without cause. We know that we have done these things simply because of the way we are. We're selfish because we are selfish people. No cause, no reason. We're just like that by nature. And so this is why we don't want to look at the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that we have broken the laws of God. We don't want to confess our sin before him. It's too painful for us. It's too much of a shame for us. And so that is why we don't look at the Lord Jesus Christ. And some people, well, this is very common. Imagine that young boy in the headmaster's office. Maybe he doesn't want to look at the headmaster's face because he knows how angry the headmaster would be. How angry. He's in his school. He's broken the rules of the school. The headmaster, he knows, is very strict, very stern. He doesn't want to look at his face. He doesn't want to see that anger etched upon his face. It's too much for him. And again, well, this is the reason why so many people don't want to hear the gospel. They never come into a church. They don't want to hear the things of God. They don't want to know how angry God is with them. Because they know that God would be very angry. When they think back through their lives, all the things that they've done, they think to themselves, how can I come toward God? How can I approach the Lord Jesus? I've done so many things wrong. Oh, God will be so angry with me, and there's no hope for me if I approach him. I should be punished. It would be right. I deserve it. And there's no excuse. That is why so many people don't want to approach the living God. They don't want anything to do with God or with the Lord Jesus. Well, if that's what you think, if you think that the Christian faith is all about punishment and there's no hope and God is stern and it's all about rule keeping and there's no hope for people who aren't good all their lives, well, you haven't looked close enough. at the Lord Jesus. You haven't looked at the Lord Jesus in all his beauty, in all his kindness, his loving kindness, his mercy, his grace. I would urge you to take another look. Look unto Jesus. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid of approaching God. I've often said it, but it has been made note of, that the most often repeated phrase in the Bible is, do not be afraid. Fear not. And the Lord Jesus Christ would often say this to his disciples. Fear not. Why are you fearful? He would always ask them. And so, if there are any here who are afraid of approaching the Lord Jesus Christ, fear not. Oh, but I'm a sinner, you will say. I've sinned greatly. I've sinned terrible things. And if I approach God, well, surely I must be punished. God is holy. I'm a sinner. I must be punished. Oh, no, look unto Jesus. Look at why he has come. He has come to take upon himself the punishment for your sin, to take it upon himself. That's why he went to the cross. I will die for them in their place. Lord, punish me instead of them. There is no need to fear. God has sent Christ, and Christ loved us and gave himself for us. That is the word of Scripture. That is eternal truth. It shall never pass away from our thinking. Christ has come and suffered and died, that we may be forgiven all our sin. And so there is nothing left for you to fear. You may approach God. You may come to Christ. But you must look to Jesus. Look at him dying for you. Look at his love wherewith he has loved us. Oh, do we know anything? Anybody else in this world who would go through such an agony? When Christ died on the cross, well, it wasn't just the pain, the physical agony, the nails through the hands and the feet. It wasn't just that he suffered. It was the wrath of God in his soul, that pain that we could not see. It was that he suffered. And there is nobody else on this earth who can even think about going through that pain for you. It had to be Christ, the eternal Son of God, so that we may be forgiven and dwell with God in heaven. Oh, he is the only way. Have you looked at these things? Have you seen these things? I see Christ in my mind's eye, and I understand what he has done. He has suffered so much for me. For such a sinner, I must come to him. I must know that forgiveness. Oh, look unto Jesus. There is your life. Look at him. Look at the cross of Calvary. You know, some people, they don't like looking at the cross because they don't like the idea of death. Oh, some people, they say, oh, I don't like the Christian faith because you have to focus on somebody dying. What sort of a religion is that? How morbid. Looking at Christ, thinking of him dying on a cross. Oh, dear friends, that is where your life is. If you look at the Lord Jesus Christ, there is eternal life. You know, we like to look at the graves of people who have died. Now, I remember when I was again unsaved, I went across to the US with my mother, and I don't like to admit this, but we went to the home of Elvis Presley, the rock star Elvis Presley. Now, he obviously died in the 70s, but you know how many people go to his house, Graceland, in Memphis, Tennessee, just to see a grave? There are 600,000 people every year go to that house to see a grave. They file past in very solemn fashion. But you know, not one of those people who goes to see the grave of Elvis Presley, not one of those people will benefit at all. Looking at that grave cannot impart life to your soul. And yet so many go and say, oh, I must see the grave. I must pay homage. And yet they think that looking at Christ on the cross is abhorrent, is awful. But you see, if you look to Christ, That imparts life. That gives you life. Eternal life. You could look at a million graves in this world. Go through, pass through a million cemeteries. Not one gravestone, not one past life will give you eternal life in your soul. But if you look unto Jesus, expiring, suffering on Calvary's cross, then you will have life that will never end. Oh, these are the glorious things that we think of when we look unto Jesus. Look unto him. This is a tremendous thing. When we look unto Jesus, we look away from everything else in this world. We repent. We only have eyes for him. He is your only love. There is a tremendous hymn, and I'm sure many of you know it. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. That's what happens when you have Christ as your Saviour. The things of this world that you once loved will grow strangely dim. I don't like those things anymore. I live for Christ. I love him. I will serve him all the days of my life. Well, we must look unto him, dear friends. One day, and I must remind you of these things, Christ will come again, and every eye will see him. Then you won't be able to ignore him. You will be looking unto Jesus. But if that day comes, and you had spurned Christ up until that point, and you rejected him, and did not think it important to look toward him, thought it worthless, well then it will be too late. Christ will come in judgment. You will see him, you will look upon him as your judge, and his judgment will be righteous. You won't be able to answer anything. But if you look now, while there is time, you can plead. You can ask for mercy and forgiveness, and you will be heard and you will be saved. That is the greatest advice anybody can give you. Look unto Jesus. Come with all your sin. Humble yourself before him, and you will be forgiven, and you will find so much true forgiveness, true peace, true love. Maybe you've looked for all these things in this world. Where can I find true peace? Where can I find true love? And you found all these things to be absolutely wanting and lacking. You've never found them. Well, it's because you've been looking in the wrong place. Look unto Jesus. He is all you need.